This is the Taco Boat Wellness Podcast with your host, your coach, your Everside Wellness Practitioner, Courtney Handelin. I love tacos and a good play on words as much as the next person. Okay, maybe a little bit more than the next person. But this podcast is about more than just that. Just like each taco can have a variety of toppings, so too is each person's path to wellness. Both tacos and wellness are customizable for each individual. And with each season, it may look a little bit different, and that's totally okay. In this podcast, you'll gain insight from providers here at our Waukesha Clinic and all across Everside Health. We'll even sprinkle in a few local community experts, all to tap into the many areas or toppings of wellness. So let's get this party started and taco boat wellness. Welcome back to the Taco Boat Wellness Podcast. We are here with part two, talking about tobacco some more with Nancy Plummins again. And for those of you who haven't listened to it yet, Nancy Plummins has lots of experience and education supporting her knowledge on the subject of stopping tobacco use. She has been a tobacco counselor since 2000 with the Mayo Clinic and also is certified by the American Lung Association as a tobacco counselor. She's very passionate in this subject and has, in many subjects, but especially this one, that's why you're here today with us, has helped over 300 people stop tobacco use, which is pretty incredible. And Nancy has been a nurse practitioner for over 37 years and here with Everside for 17 years. And she is one of our regional medical directors. So Nancy, I'm really happy to have you back again for part two. We're really giving it all we can towards tobacco and helping people stop use. Go ahead, say hi.
No, I just wanted to say hello and thank you for inviting me back.
Yes, happy to. So for those, like I said, please listen to the previous episode if you haven't, or for whatever reason you want to listen to this first, or maybe it's been a while since you listened to it. Just to summarize, we did discuss in the first episode the various methods of tobacco consumption and why they're harmful. We also talked about tips for those who are struggling with stopping, including a really big mind shift that you can make when you're on that journey of stopping your tobacco use. We talked about tips for those who are struggling with addiction and dependence on the nicotine and the habit of it, especially those who are in that scenario and they know they need to quit, but they just don't want to stop. So we did share some tips for that and also tips for those who are trying to support a loved one. We also shared some helpful resources and tools that are in our podcast show notes of that first one. And we will have more for you today. Okay, hold up. Before we go any further, we do want to give a quick disclaimer that this podcast is provided for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute providing medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your doctor or other qualified health provider regarding a medical condition, especially keeping in mind that we're speaking in general terms and each individual is different. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something stated on this podcast. Neither Everside Health nor its employees nor any contributor to this podcast makes any representations expressed or implied with respect to the information provided herein or to its use. And Nancy, let's start out this episode by talking about the cost comparisons. I think this comes up a lot of, frequently in the conversation of stopping tobacco use as one way to help motivate people or to motivate ourselves if we're the tobacco user for stopping the tobacco use. Some people like these, some people not so much, but what is your favorite way to look at these cost comparisons?
Sure. Thanks, Courtney. So what I found in my practice and working with several tobacco users is the spend for tobacco ends up being treated similarly to like a gas, buying a gas for your car or a utility bill. We roll it into the grocery bill, depending on where you purchase, or we'll roll the packs that we buy or the cans that we buy into our gas bill when we pay for it at a convenience store. And because of that, it becomes subtle and you don't really realize how much you're spending. So one of the tips that I recommend to my patients is to make that spend intentional. And by that, I mean pay attention to how much you're actually spending when you're purchasing your tobacco. Pay for it in cash if possible. Get yourself a wad of cash and pay for that separately so you actually see that money going out. And it is a mind opener. It just makes you more mindful. And then another thing that you can do is calculate the monthly spend. And we don't usually do that, but it's a good idea, especially if you're thinking about stopping. You want to look at how much of this of my life is this taking? And so a national study looks at the cost of tobacco, and dip tobacco or chew tobacco is similar to a pack of cigarettes. And that is nationally an average of about $8 a pack, much higher in the Northeast, where it goes up to $12 in New York State. Wisconsin is pretty high. The West Coast is pretty high. And down in the South, it's probably the cheapest, where it goes down to about $6.50 to $7 a pack. So if you're a pack a day or a can a day user, your monthly spend is about $250. Your yearly spend would be about $3,000. So I did a study once at a manufacturing company that I worked for, and I found out what their average salary was, and it was somewhere around $42,000 back. This was a few years ago. Okay. So you take that amount less taxes, the average take home is $36,000 after taxes and et cetera, or $3,000. A month. So basically, people are working an entire month of their year to pay for their tobacco use, which is a big eye opener. And if there's two users in the family, you can double that. Right. So that I think is something that people may want to just think about, factor it out yourself or whatever area you're in, and to figure out the cost for you. And it can be pretty astounding. But what also was good about it is it's a motivator, and you can maybe look at it a different way. But being mindful about the spend, I think, is just an excellent idea.
Yeah, I think. You know, and I think we can translate that to anything that, you know, anything that we kind of willy-nilly spend our money on, right? If you're not using cash, you don't see it, and it just gets bundled into other purchases. But yeah, when you calculate it, you know, and I'm sure people who are trying to stop tobacco use or have tried before, like they've seen some of those, you know, like in this many years, you could save up to go on a cruise. But it really does make it a lot more personal when you calculate, you know, your own monthly spend and then how much your take home pay is and how, you know, how much you're really taking a chunk out of that.
Yeah. It takes away, it's part of your life. It's taking away time that you're working that you may want to be doing something different.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. That really. Yeah, my brain is still just like really in awe by all that information. So for those who are working on, you know, working their way off of tobacco, obviously one of the drawbacks is the withdrawal symptoms. And what kind of withdrawal symptoms can someone expect when they're stopping tobacco?
Well, withdrawal from nicotine can be pretty uncomfortable, and if anybody has tried before, you'll know what I'm talking about. You can get restless, you can feel jumpy, irritable is very common. In that case, I would say please go ahead and apologize to those folks around you for irritability. It is a withdrawal symptom. It can interfere with your concentration. It can interfere with your sleeping. And then you tend to get hungry. Yeah. And when you get hungry, it's usually craving carbohydrates. And the reason for that is that carbohydrates triggers that dopamine, that feel-good comfort food pathway. That nicotine fills as well. And that's why there's several people that say, I suddenly want sweets, or I'm just eating more, more food. And it's usually carbohydrates because it has that same brain effect that nicotine does.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. I know a lot of people are concerned about like gaining weight when they're quitting.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. I guess I just assumed it was like stress eating.
Well,
actual trigger.
It can be, and we can talk about stress eating later. And the studies actually show that the average weight gain for somebody who stops tobacco is about only 7 pounds. And that may seem like, oh, I can't even afford 7 pounds. The fact is that once people stop using tobacco, they do tend to get much more active, physically active. They feel better. They start to develop more muscles because they're able to take stairs. They're able to take walks better. So they end up getting more active. And that can actually help with weight management or weight reduction, as can some of the meds. So we'll talk about those later.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Awesome. Sorry, I did cut you off with my revelation of the
dog. Oh, no, that's okay.
Was there anything else that we missed with the withdrawal that you wanted to share?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can tell you that sometimes these withdrawal symptoms are mistaken for drug side effects. So some of the medications that we use to help people with stopping tobacco will have similar side effects, but we may not want to stop the medication because a lot of these side effects are expected when you're coming off of tobacco. So that's just something to keep in mind.
Right. Like it might happen regardless of medication.
Correct.
Well, and I wonder too, like knowing some of these side effects are coming, I'm just guessing that maybe in an ideal world, obviously this is not available to everyone, but knowing if you have your, you know, a date coming up soon, or you're going to start weaning off on maybe talking to, like you said, your support network and scheduling some time where you can just scale back at work or take some time off or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. There's ways to mitigate it. And you can also talk to your provider about it as well to help you with that. There's things that we can do from a provider standpoint.
Yeah, that's true. Well, and if you know some of those things are coming, like you said, like apologize ahead of time for the irritability, or like understand that, you know, difficulty concentrating, like that's to be expected, or like you said, difficulty sleeping, like maybe you do other things to improve your bedtime routine and habits.
Exactly.
To make that not so difficult. So, it's been my observation that the dependence is of course really powerful, but along with that, the habit, of the smoking or chewing, like that seems that habit that they have, especially if it's like I get in my car and I smoke a cigarette on the way to work, like that just becomes part of their routine. And that habit itself becomes a big barrier for stopping tobacco use. So what tips do you have for those who are struggling with shifting their daily habit so that they don't include that?
Sure. No, that's very important. And you hit on two really important points. One is that dependence is real. And with nicotine and tobacco, I would venture that it is one of the most addictive substances on the planet, and we really need to support our folks that are using it, that want help, and everybody who is around people that are using tobacco, give them some grace, because it is extremely dependency causing. So we have to put all hands on deck and help folks that are trying to stop with their efforts. And certainly kindness and tolerance and patience and support is, we all need that when we're going through something. I can give you kind of an example here. Alcohol. Alcohol is another thing that people can develop a dependence for. However, when you look at how many people are social drinkers, that's probably about 95% of people who drink alcohol are social drinkers. They can pick it up or put it down whenever they want. Only about 5 to 10% at the most actually become addicted and become alcoholics. Now, tobacco, if you were to look at how many people become dependent on tobacco that can't put it down and pick it up whenever they want, it's more like 95%. It's the flip of alcohol. And there's only about 5% who are considered social smokers, where they can literally just smoke one when they're out for a drink once a month. That is very few and far between. So as far as the habit piece, we are habitual creatures, and that is actually very good for us. We are habitual because that gives us structure to our lives. That helps us feel more in control. It helps us be more efficient in our work and our daily life. So habits are built into our nature, and that's fine. Well, what happens over time is that tobacco use becomes built into that routine, like you said. So one of the things, the way you break, quote, habits, is to break the routine consciously. Just for an example, instead of smoking 2 cigarettes on the way to work or 3 cigarettes on the way to work, that's your routine. And we almost start to do this mindlessly because that's just our habit. We don't even think about it. Maybe we just pause and take a moment and not light up when you usually routinely light up. And instead of smoking 2 or 3 on the way to work, smoke one. Just smoke one and enjoy it and pay attention to it. And that is a way to start breaking that routine of going through a pack or a pack and a half a day, is you just cut back. And the same thing with when you go out on a break. If you smoked 1 or 2 on a break, it's only one. If you smoke one and it is satisfying after the first minute or so that you smoke, put it out and save the other half. You can cut back in many different ways. And that way you are starting now to break your routine. Being mindful about your tobacco use, is it satisfying you? Is it meeting your need? Do you need to use all of it? Do you need to use as big of a chew or as many cigarettes as it takes to that you're currently using? Is that required? And if you find out that it's not, cut back. And that can certainly help break the cycle. Things that you can do when you're driving is put your smoking hand on the wheel. Use a different hand. If you love to have your tobacco after a meal and you are with a cup of coffee, change your coffee brand. Step it up. Give yourself a treat. Put straws in your mouth or cinnamon sticks or a toothpick. That helps as well. Change your route to work. Change your music. If you're anxious and you tend to use tobacco to relieve your stress, consider taking up a hobby. Consider getting out and taking a walk. Things that you may not usually do, add in things rather than focus on what you're taking away. And when you add in things, you are now just automatically breaking your routine of your life. And that's actually a good thing.
Yeah, wow. I think that's really powerful. I mean, I like to even point it to the dropping that all or nothing thinking, which becomes a barrier for many of us in so many facets of life. But like you said, even if you can just cut it back and, you know, choosing to smoke with a little bit more mindfulness can really make a difference in how you feel. And no, it's not the same as zero, but it's definitely less than, you know, your whole pack a day or whatnot. And it'll help build you towards getting to that zero. I love that. So in previous conversations that we've had, I've heard you mention that there are 6 components of the behavior of smoking. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Yes. So this is when I work with patients at the bedside, what I will do is I say, go ahead and make a fist with one hand and then take your other hand and wrap it around your fist. The fist is you. And I look at the behavior of smoking is your hand wrapping around it. Now, what has the strongest part of the grip is the physical dependence. That is that's your thumb, essentially. And we can help with that. That's where nicotine replacement comes in. That's where some of the medications come in. Meeting with a provider. There's many different things that we can do to help that physical dependence. The second part of your grip is the index finger, which is the second strongest piece, and that's that habit or that ritual. We just talked about some of the things that you can do to help break that ritual that will help you release that part of the grip, if you will. The third finger is manipulative. That one is, we love to have something to do with our hands. That is by nature soothing for us. We talk with our hands. We eat with our hands. We do many, many tasks with our hands, and for some people playing instruments, et cetera, we find that relaxing, we feel productive, and it is satisfying. So when people use tobacco, you're using your hands, and that gives you something to do, and there's almost a comfort in that. The fourth finger is oral. We are oral by nature. We would die if we weren't. If we were not oral as babies, we would not learn to suck, we would not eat, we would die. So it's okay to be oral, but when you use tobacco, it has an oral gratification to it. And because of that, it has a grip. It's a very all-encompassing behavior that has multiple pieces. So the oral piece is, there's a satisfier there when you put something in your mouth, and we can replace that with things like nicotine gum. And that goes for whether you dip, chew, or smoke. Or even if you're vaping and you want to get off of it, you certainly can use the nicotine gum, nicotine lozenges. I think there's drops for your coffee. There's different options. The other thing that seems to help is cinnamon. Cinnamon has a heat to it, similar to smoking. There's cinnamon is a very bold taste, and so people that use tobacco seem to like and get satisfaction from cinnamon. The fifth bit, and the pinky of the grip, if you will, is the social aspect. Now, this used to be much stronger because 52% of the population in 1960s used tobacco. So you had a whole group of friends that you would go out and smoke with. Now it's less, but you still have your select few that you may go meet in the corner of the building, outside, or wherever you do. And that is a very collegial group, because there's quite a bit of anti-tobacco use out there. And people like to have like-minded folks that they connect with. So there's that piece. The other part of where that will come in handy is if you go into, say, a party, you don't know anybody, and you wander outside, there on the back deck are some people using tobacco, you have immediately have a few friends right out there. Another part of that social is that comfort and that special time that you may spend with your significant other or a friend after a meal, where you go out on your deck and you enjoy a drink and a cigarette or a dip, if you have that, out on the back deck. And that is a special calming moment. So there is a social component of that. That's the pinky. The sixth component, this was actually pointed out to me by a tobacco user, and I have incorporated it into this talk, and that is the breathing component. That's one thing that is a 101 stress reduction maneuver that people who smoke do beautifully, and that is they get up, they go outside, they get some fresh air, they talk to some friends, and they do deep breathing. Nice slow breaths in, hold as they hold their smoke in, and then a slow release. And that, folks, you and I would all benefit from that. We all get reduction of our stress because we tend to drop our shoulders. I highly recommend doing 4-4-8 breathing, and that is a nice slow deep breath in on the count of four, hold for the count of four, and then out for a count of eight. And that is something that when people tried to stop using tobacco, they don't do it. And therefore, they basically throw the baby out with the bathwater, if I can use that term, because they're throwing away a really, really good stress reduction habit there.
Yeah, right. I think that's really good to point out the breathing. I read something about that recently too, and it does make sense that they're experts at that deep breathing, right?
Yeah, they are.
it's a matter of continuing that, but breathing without the nicotine. And I think too, maybe that it, like, now I'm just thinking for myself as a practitioner who helps others in their journey of stopping tobacco use. But this would be applicable too for I guess anyone who is listening to help support a loved one, but really focusing on celebrating the skill that they've developed for taking that deep breath, you know, and celebrating that and encouraging them to continue to expand on that as much as they can. And that could be, like you said, adding the things in. I don't know if that's a hobby. Well, I guess meditation could be a hobby, but, you sure. know, encouraging them to add that in and really put their focus on that part. So kind of to wrap things up here, I guess, could you help, let's say I'm a tobacco user or, you know, someone who's listening is a tobacco user and they're like, all right, after hearing Nancy talk, I'm ready to do this. I really want to quit. I feel like I'm ready. Where should I start?
Great question. And thank you for asking that. First of all, I would think about an arsenal of strategies to help you, not just one. I think what happens sometimes, even if you've gone for advice or medical care in the past, they say, well, just quit smoking or quit using tobacco. It's better for your health. And they may give you a prescription or they may say, use nicotine replacement. And that's just one shot. We just talked about six components that you can all address. And most of them also apply to dipping, but this is primarily smokers. So look at those six things. Physical dependence, what can we do for that? Nicotine replacement. I'm a big proponent of nicotine replacement. I think that it is it's helpful. If some people have any issues with it, they don't like the taste of the gum. There's many different flavors. Remember, you should park the gum between the cheeks. And if you feel a tingle, that's when it's absorbing. That's how it works. When it stops making that tingling feeling, then you want to change that piece of gum or that lozenge. The patches last for about 22 hours. If you have very strong urges in the morning, then put the patch on right before you go to sleep. It takes about 2 hours for a patch to really kick in. So you want it nice and strong for when you're up and when you're rolling, if your urges are primarily in the morning. If you have trouble with sleep, the nicotine that is in a patch may interfere with that. So you might want to take it off right before you go to sleep if you put it on in the morning. So the other things is medications. I am a proponent of medications as well. There's the two that I do like the most is bupropion or Wellbutrin. That's actually several uses for that medication. One of them is for ADD, so it does help with concentration. It is an antidepressant, and it also helps give people energy, which I love that idea as well, because we like energy. We like to get things done. If you're highly anxious, it may not be the drug for you. However, it does work on that dopamine pathway that we talked about that nicotine works on as well. It's your pleasure chemical. It makes you feel calm and you feel content with your life. And that's what tobacco helps do. That's what different illicit drugs help do. That's what these medications help do. So it can actually replace that by getting on that medication. And I've had great success with it. And Chantix is the other one that I'm a proponent of as well. I think that it is a drug that is made out of a plant, very similar to the tobacco plant, but it's in pill form. And it really plugs those nicotine receptors in your brain and helps you stop. You can continue to take that medication for about a week or so, 2 weeks, before you put your cigarettes down. What you should pay attention to with both of those medications, if you do start on them, is pay attention to what it feels like when you use tobacco. Many times you might not even want to wait for the 2 weeks that they say you can wait before you put your cigarettes or your dip down because it doesn't taste good anymore or it's giving you no satisfaction whatsoever. And that's because the medication is starting to work. If you have any severe side effects from Chantix, then you should go off of it because it can cause very, very rarely very negative thoughts, very, very, very bad dreams. So if you are not experiencing those, then continue on it. And both of those medications, I will let people stay on for several months as long as they need it, so that they can be successful in their journey. Then let's see, change up your routine. We talked about that as far as helping develop a new habit or new rituals in your life. That's a great thing. And you can invite your supportive people to help you with that. I do like having a support person in your life because we do better. It increases your success rate by probably 4 times as much if you will consider nicotine replacement, consider medications, and consider having a support person who's there under your guidance, giving you the support that you need. Put something in your hands that has something different, the stress balls, putty, whatever, a game, a new hobby, something that makes you happy. That's the nice thing. Put something in your mouth if you want to. If you feel like it's a big oral and you're afraid of eating, go ahead and put low carb or low calorie things. You can eat low calorie foods. You can put cinnamon, you can put a toothpick, like I said, a coffee stirrer. When you're in your car, you can take a drink with a straw, and instead of sucking on a cigarette, you can use the straw with a healthy drink in there. That's another option for replacement. The support, you can get their support in your providers, their support in your home. There might be support with other former tobacco users that would be very willing to give you some support, whatever you need. There's also a phone number, 1-800-QUIT-NOW is another option. And make sure you continue to do your deep breathing. Deep breathe, drop your shoulders, and that might be very helpful for you as you go through this stressful but extremely valuable and worthwhile behavior change.
Awesome. I love it. So much great information. So I'm going to put those things that you had mentioned in the show notes as well. I know you shared link for calculating cigarette prices by state. I'll put the 448 breathing in there and the 1-800-QUIT-NOW phone number. I'll even share the resources that we shared from the previous episode. Anything else you want to add, Nancy?
Just, I really appreciate you giving me time and best wishes to all of you. You are all just on a journey to the end. This is not necessarily a single stop attempt, but every time that you do successfully stop, you are on your way to a permanent stop. So never give up and keep trying.
I think that's a perfect way to end. Thanks so much, Nancy. And yes, like you said, good luck and best wishes for everyone who is working on this behavior change.
Thank you, Courtney.
I'm so glad we got to talk about wellness today. And I'm especially thankful for you, our audience. Thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions from this episode, please feel free to shoot me an email. For our Waukesha Everside members, if you would like to chat about how the concepts you heard in this episode can fit into your own personal taco of life, call to schedule a coaching appointment. If you really love this episode, be sure to give us 5 stars and share it with a friend. Everyone can find us on Facebook and YouTube at Waukesha Employee Health and Wellness. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from so you never miss an episode. See you on the first Tuesday of every month for Taco Tuesday. Until then, bye!